I tried to get away from what he wanted me to tell you. And when I had this last service, I knew I couldn't get away from it. So I'd be under obligation to tell you whether I wanted to or not. Which basically, I wanted to more than not. It made sense to me. I don't think some of you noticed, but it's just been a whale of a lot of teaching on the love of God lately. If you noticed, from Alan to Gary to, I mean, in any of us getting up here, we'd say something about it. And Gary, he carried it to a place to back some time ago of it. It's what turned me and changed me. And that's that 13th chapter when, desire earnestly the best gifts, yet I'll show you a more excellent way, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, tinkling by sounding cymbal. It goes on to list power, ministries, and everything. And got to the end of it and said, it profited me nothing. And I didn't think, I thought if a guy could really operate in a lot of power, that his life had to be beyond reproach. You know, this is what I thought. Which turned out not to be so. It didn't turn out to be so. And one of the times that everything went, it threw me about 50 times, and I was looking at circumstances and looking at God and looking at everything, was when I started going back and studying men's lives that shook everything. And I thank God for the ones that was bold enough to write it all in there, the bad and the good. And I mean, you can't say the word Branham without men. Well, you think this guy was a world shaker. I mean, every ministry has heard of him and the word of knowledge he operated in and the power he operated in, William Branham. And, you know, and the guy that brought Chicago to his knees, Dowie, yes. Alexander. I mean, they pour into Chicago. Hear this man preach, to hear Branham. My God, these guys was just a walking power plant. You know, if you don't think the devil is a good imitator, and if deception isn't one of the most powerful tools, think again. Sometime in there, he can slip in and replace the voice of God with his, and the guy end up thinking that it's really God. It's happened more than once. Now with Alexander Dowie, after just shaking Chicago, and I won't go through detail, but one day he got him a long robe and a tall hat and flowing gown, like a priest. He ascends up to his little throne that exalted him up above, and he had a kind of a king's chair he was sitting in, a tall hat. That's where he announced he was Elijah to come. He's buying land up around Israel because him and Jesus were going to reign through the millennial, around 1977. Branham, he was even photographed with a halo, and it wasn't a phony. This halo around his head glowing. And that photograph, it's so old as a black and white photograph, but there it was. I mean, somebody wearing a halo come up and says, "I'd like to talk to you." I said, "I'll listen." But you know that we weathered a revival of sensationalism when gold dust and pearls fell, and who do you think made snakes out of the sticks that the Pharaoh sorcerers threw down? You think God did that? He'd had to create our spiritual death if he did. Because that's what that was a type of. He said, "How are you going to get these people free?" He said, "I'll show you how." He threw his staff down, turned into a snake, and swallowed up the sorcerer's sticks. It turned into a snake, then it turned back into a staff, that he became your sin. We were baptized into his death, and then we were resurrected. We're back. Who do you think made those snakes out of sticks that the sorcerers threw down? The devil can manipulate molecules, but he's a creator. He just can't create nothing. He can't make nothing out of nothing. He has to have something to make something. So he can, well, I can make a picnic table out of a tree. Just give me a saw. But if I could operate on a molecular level, I could make other things. I can tell you that, see. So you know what Branham ended up? You ladies will love him. He said that women were born without a spirit. At one time, he even said they were born lower than a lower level than the animal kingdom. How could he go to that, to this? I mean, what did he say? "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels," he didn't say pray. This guy could just speak with tongues. Is what. "Though I had the gift of faith, I can move all mountains. And I still don't have the love." Somehow in the end of it, he comes out not profiting very much. See. Well, I didn't launch myself on the study of the love of God. It just seemed to come to me somewhere along the way in the edification process. From praying in tongues, you get edified. He taught me about this. He taught me about this. And he taught me about this. This and this. And for a while, I got to operate in more love than I ever had in my life. And ooh, man, it was great. People would cry and get healed. And you know, it wasn't very long. I got to thinking I was somebody. Yeah. Let's see you do it or get out of the way. Yeah. He couldn't give me any more. But I didn't stop praying with tongues. I did have a break there, though. But I always go back. Well, when I got myself straightened back around and prayed, and Brazil was breaking wide open, and now Japan's breaking open, and I got to the last door, and I noticed there was no more doors that he gave me, all he's going to give me there, but there was a door here. And I was pushing on the door, trying keys. I was trying to get it open, but basically it wouldn't open like the other ones as freely. You know, I couldn't get a key to work. And I was up in Brazil near San Paulo. That's 10 stories up in a hotel room. And it was like I'd been there for 12, 14, 15 years at that hotel, just preaching in Brazil. It's been 20 years now, almost been preaching there. So all of this happening and everything, it's time for me to go to Brazil. I go, it's just like any other meeting. I was at this door. So I go up and we start the meeting, and these had that kind of rented for apartments too, so there was two rooms. You come in, you could go this way, there was the bedroom, two beds in there. Go this way, a little kind of kitcheny thing. And I was over here, twin beds, small ones. I slept in the one by the wall. Just like any other time, I went to sleep. Now, I don't see stuff. One time I had a vision of an angel standing there where she is. And that's all, though. I saw him for a minute in a vision. I don't think he saw me, but devils, they swished out over the room, started chanting, "Something is wrong here, something is wrong here." Anyway, I just saw that just for a second. There's no interaction or anything. Then it was all gone. In the days of the gold dustings, I had an encounter. But I never ever seen an angel one time. Not even the evil one. But I heard their voice chanting over and over and over. So finally, I survived that. They sang me to death almost. They sang a song over and over and over until I couldn't take it anymore. Something was wrong. These were angels singing to me during the dusting days. Over and over. So I'm thinking, will they take requests? So I said, will you sing "Let's Go Gather at the River"? Boy, they just come right in. "Let's go gather at the river." Then I thought, I'm going to ask them to sing another song. I said, "Sing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash." This is going somewhere. It got really quiet. I think, thank God for the peace. I was locked away in a fast in the house. And I'm thinking, oh God. Even though they were gospel songs, oh, thank you, God, for the quietness. Oh, thank you. And then all of a sudden, "The cost of love is sweet." Or something like that. "When two hearts like ours meet." I fell into a burning ring of fire. Down, 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 the flames burned higher. And burn, 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 the ring of fire. To tell you the truth, I knew it was the devil then. But I wanted to hear the end of the song before I got rid of it. I did. But I fought it. I fought that temptation. I said, "Okay, it's over. Get out. In Jesus' name, get out." And the song, you know, they tried to end it. "Get out. Did you hear me? Now. Stop now and get out in Jesus' name." They did. So that's the only supernatural encounter that I had like that. And I didn't see nothing. I just hear them. Angels can really sing. even bad ones. So now I'm up there, 10 stories high, Alphaville suburb, São Paulo. 10 stories high, there's a window by my bed. I'm at this door. Been through a lot. This just happened not long ago. So I'm going to get through this door. And I go to bed that night. I'm in Brazil. It's on this year's calendar. I go to bed and I sat with my shoulders partly on the pillow and I kicked back like this. I had my hands like this. That's how I fell asleep that night. I'm sleeping good. I had no fear through the whole thing. None. Do you know how you'll put a chair at the end of your bed and put your clothes on it? That's what I did. Put my clothes on it and I'm laying there. And I don't know what woke me up, but when I opened my eyes, there's some guy sitting in my chair. Big guy, tall. If he would have clothing on, it was dark, very dark clothing. And when I moved a little bit, I caught his attention. When I did, I put my hand up over my heart like that, just out of pure habit. And he says, "Look, do you think he knows that you're going to kill him with a poison dart?" That's what he said to somebody else in the room. Now, I've never seen this again. I never saw it before. I've seen visions. You can't interact with a vision. Can't talk to them. They don't talk back. He was there. Well, when he said that, he turned towards the door into that second part. And there was a devils flooding out on this side, the big angelic things. Dark figures. They were piling out on this side too. But then this gal come out in the middle of them and they surrounded her like they was protecting her. She had hair chopped off here, black and gray eyes that could stare a hole right through you. She had a longer skirt. I don't remember completely because I was so shocked to see them guarding a woman. And then she got this smoking flax and lit it and went down that wall, puffing the smoke up, up, up. And I'm just watching this yet. I'm still kind of in shock. You know, I've never seen a devil before, never seen anything like that before. Now they're filling my room up. And so she head toward me and she's going to put this on me now. She's going to fan this smoke on me. Later I found out that the witchcraft in Brazil, especially the Amazon and up through them, that they have witches like that and they will put a death curse on you. Well, he's putting this death curse, whatever it is. And boy, when she leaned over the bed coming towards me, that's when I shot up out of bed and went after him in the name of Jesus. I said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. You get out of here and you do it now. And if they were further from the wall, they disappeared before they got to it. But if they were by the wall, they just went through it. I don't know what happened to her. The ones on this side got my attention because they started disappearing. And by the time I looked over, she was gone. I don't know how she got out for sure. But they kept chanting then like the other ones, I'm going to kill you. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. I'm relentless. We're going to kill you. Going to kill you. Relentless. So I was getting, you know, you're going to take a shower, you're going to take a shower, you know. And so I was getting ready to take a shower and stuff. And I think it's about 4 a.m. at that time. I don't know why I did it. It was because I wasn't afraid. I really didn't have any fear. So I said, because they were continuing to chant, I said, you know, in the realms I live in, my creation, we love our enemies, forgive them. I says, but you're a bunch of dumb devils, you're so stupid, you followed saints into an eternal hell, you're going to burn forever. How stupid could you be? I bought about 5 minutes of silence with that one. So I got some quiet. So I lay back down. You know. I lay back down and it got quiet. All of a sudden this lady comes running into the room yelling, fire! Fire! Just right after I got to sleep again. Fire! Fire! And I go, I get up, she runs back out. I check the door, it's still locked. I thought, well, if this was a woman reporting fire, she'd probably have a key. Fire! So I thought, oh, okay, I'll go down and ask the desk. So I went down to ask them. They said, there's no alarm. I said, those. I went back up and fell asleep trying to for the third time. And this time, if I remember correctly, from 10 stories down in an alley, there's at least 5, I think. And they were crying out real loud, Pastor Dave Roberson, can you help us? Pastor Dave Roberson, can you help us? Yeah, 4, 5 a.m, a bunch of people standing out 10 stories below my room calling me out if I could come and help them. Right, in Brazil. Right. What I found out, he was trying to bait me out. They wanted to get me outside for some reason. Maybe they had a murderer out there waiting or something. I don't know. Well, you know, almost with tears I saw it. I wanted to know why did I warrant an attack so severe like that? What did I do? Never had one before. Come from meetings of 700,000 people and then watched 300,000 get saved, and I didn't get attacked then. What did I do? You know, what's going on? It had to be God to finally show me. Do you know how full the Word of God is about the love? And we discovered the new nature of chromosome that that God's love is a part of our new nature. And it casts out all fear. And it never fails. And is so pertinent to you, your answered prayer. And he said, if you're speaking to this mountain and you happen to remember that you have some ought, just stop the prayer, go fix the ought. It has so much to do with faith and everything else. So much. And so the door that I was brought to with the foundation I have now was this door where the love was. And this is when the Lord told me finally that those devils was assigned not to let me, to kill me, to do anything they needed to do to keep me from going through that door where that level of the love of God was leaking out of a safe that was so big that you could walk in it. Their assignment was to stop me, whether to kill me, however they were supposed to do it. That's what they were supposed to do. I never met a bunch of devils that were so afraid of something. But they were afraid of this. They were under assignment to stop me. I can't get past this door and walk in that kind of love. You want to know why? Ooh, and the fullness of God is operating in the nature that He gave you. When Jesus was moved by that kind of compassion, He walked away from the sick. He just couldn't take it. What did He do?
Heal them all.
How many?
All.
Come on. What's the church doing now? Easing your conscience over your sin. If you pay me enough money, I'll tell you you're okay. Come on. What about that stuff resembles the Word? You got a child. Let's just say he's got some of his. He's blind, but he can hear. He can't walk, but he can hear. That's it. He's blind. You're a voice to him. He's just laying there. How do you explain? I'm okay and you're not. How do you explain that to a kid? You know, you want me to give you $1,000? And I'm going to get $100,000 back. What a miracle. What if I give you $100,000? I'll get $1,000,000 back? Well, I can solve your problems. Why don't you give the $100,000 and you'll get $1,000,000 back? Let me think about this now. You mean if I do this, that you know what God's going to do, that God's got all that faith, you know what He's going to do. If I give you this $100,000, you know I'm going to get all that money back, would you? Look, I'll give you that money, okay, I don't care. But instead of getting that other money back, would you please open the eyes of my child for me? Do you know a church in town where you could bring a couple of blind children that can't walk and bring them home whole? Do you know any in Tulsa? They're promising me all these great things over money. Can't even get a little kid that's blind healed. Well, I don't have that kind of ministry. Well, I'm glad I don't have yours. Did you get through the door? I got my foot through. I got through enough. The light. I have no fear anyway right now. Fear failure. Now, I don't have any fear like dying, that kind of thing. As far as failure goes, I consider not able to affect a children's hospital very much failure. How do you explain to a kid you were just born that way? Why weren't you? The 1 minute I spent here, this is the closest I can explain it. If I turn loose of it, what's it going to do? Tell me again. How'd you know? You think the person that created the law of gravity would lie? Now wait a minute, I'm going to drop it again. What makes you so positive it's going down? What's it going to do? I think somebody's waiting for me to pull some kind of trick. Like money fly out of it or something. What's it going to do? How can you be so sure? For 1 minute, children's hospitals around here will have maybe cover 3 cities or something. For 1 minute, I wasn't going to go pray for them. 1 minute this stayed on me. I wasn't going to go over to the hospital and pray for them. I was going to go over there and empty it out. How do you know? I just knew. Are you telling me that the love of God, yes, breakthrough here, getting on this path now. You tell them it's going to take you there. But you tell me, when does love fail? Maybe I'm a little scared. Can you imagine walking to an event like that with no fear? Jesus was moved by compassion, which is the tangible substance of love. Healed them all. God isn't dependent on air. When you think He breathed into Adam, He didn't go, He don't breathe. He's not dependent on anything He created. What He did is He gave him His life. Life that was from Him. And then when Jesus rose, so born again, and then we rose with Him, born again. There's a chromosome, there's a whatever makes up our new nature. A big part of it's love, like a chromosome that made the love of God in me. Yet it's still me. It's me. But it's His love that's in me. and I can take this love and give it to Him, and that's me loving Him. And when He gives me His love, that's Him loving me. Yeah. Well, what happens if you fill it up to here? Well, some of you have. How about here? What would happen if it was about here? It's been said of them of old, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, pray for those who despitefully use you. And when they take away your goods or steal your money, ask it not again. And to break down, it says, judge not, condemn not, forgive, because a guy slapped you in the face, and then give. What's the giving? Well, whatever that sinner took from you, you didn't try to go after him and get it back. That's 6:38, where he says, God will take whatever it costs you to hold my blood up to that sinner. He'll shake it down, run it together, get it, and cause men to give unto your bosom. That's what that verse is about. Not another offering. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Well, I got to touch it. It didn't stay. But it shook hell up so much that a bunch of devils got an assignment to come in, whatever it took, kill me, do whatever you had to do to stop me from going through the door. Well, I made it through the door. Yes. I will say this, don't be afraid. With Eder. By the time her oldest was 16, 5 had already went home. When I got those singing devils, you know, when I threatened them. Get out of here. You singing devils, you know. You dusting. I don't want your gold dust. I was back at my house and I was putting something in the back of my truck and I had the gate down. Somebody asked, how many times you heard the voice of God? Who asked me that? That's Alan did. I could only say once. Once. But anyway, this devil was out loud. I was used to hearing them, but I could hear it inside, echoing in my head. In other words, they somehow spoke to my spiritual ear. But this one that came up behind me, I was doing something, I think I was just getting ready to put the tailgate up, and he says, I'm going to kill you. This is gold dusting days. I'm going to kill you. I turned around because it was there. The voice was there. And I said, if you could do that, he had already done it. He said, then I'm going to kill your family. I said, no, you're not. Well, Bill went home, but he was on his way to preach a meeting. Steve, my son, that he had just got saved before that, about a year before it. And it took the supernatural. I saw where he was, and he got saved. I could tell you about what was in the front room. I wasn't planning on it. But I had this vision, so I called him. Big giant angel standing guard by the door. Had a long front room and went off into one bedroom. And I could tell you what it looked like. I've never been there. Steve said, you're right. Him and his friend would go out on a fishing boat. They'd make their money in a season and then come back. They both overdosed on morphine. Steve got up out of bed, and he turned around and looked, and he saw himself laying there. Then he looked up and he saw the frame of the angel through the wall, the glow of his outline. And he said, he turned towards him like this and said, "Get back in." He got back in his body. When he called me, he sounded like a scared little rabbit. I told him what happened. He sounded like a scared little rabbit. He got born again. He came home. Well, he is down quite a bit. He lost his family. She left him and remarried. And so he'd take stuff to sleep with. But it was the kind of stuff that you can wake up and forgot you took it. Well, they rushed him, and I rode with them, the ambulance. And when we got to emergency, I asked him, "Please, would you leave me alone in here for a bit?" I saw Steve walking away from this, just walking away. And there's a bright person in front of him. I don't know if it was Jesus, an angel, or God. I have no idea. I knew they were from heaven. And he said, "I can't send you back this time. You have to come with me." So he did. Well, he threatened me. You know, But I didn't quite know how to handle him as well as I do now. They're both in heaven, and I'm getting my revenge. I'm not going to lay down and quit. I made it to the door. He said, "I'm going to kill you. We're going to kill you." They tried. They tried. In fact, they were so close to it that my wife and helps me with Rosalie when I'm gone. They were slapping me in the face and everything else to keep me breathing. Passed out from pain. Anyway, I came that close to death. But he failed. I'm here. I'm here. Just one more hour or something like that, I would have went into gangrene. Hallelujah, Jesus. So they couldn't stop me by doing that. Couldn't kill me. Couldn't stop me from going through the door. They can't stop the revival either. Okay, listen. Hallelujah. If you desire prayer, and it, he says anything to me, I'll tell you. You know. But if you do desire prayer, what's that song? Oh, get your toes on the line. And this is our last service. So we want to tell you that it's been absolutely our privilege of serving you from his table. And I'm glad that I'm free to share these things. Because it's true. He can't stop you. He can't. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. That perfect love can bring such a peace that it can't even be understood with the natural mind. And the absence of fear. When you lose it, it never fails. Doesn't matter what He calls you to do, where He sends you. It just doesn't take fear with it, and it doesn't fail. I like the Apostle Paul. He's the one that decided when he would die. He said, I'm ready to be offered. He just didn't care how they did it. I'm ready to be offered. He learned some things in the beatings he took. 5 times, 39 lashes, save one. 3 times the bones in his feet was broken. You know, day and a night he treaded water in the deep. He'd been through it. 3 times he says, help me. God said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. He said, I'll rather therefore glorify God in the middle of these things. Not because they're happening to you, but because you can glorify Him and praise Him no matter what hell says or tries to do. And he unlocked the secret. When you can worship God and praise Him and honor Him, when they're lining you up for 39 lashes, you can just worship God and thank Him. Not because you're a sadist and you like pain. You're worshiping Him and thanking Him for being who He is in your life. And you commit your life into His hands. When you do that, you switch your dependency off of the flesh and then onto the grace that gives Him what He needs to get you free. Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. There's so many of you called. It's one of the reasons you're here. Some of you come to change. You want to change. You will. Some of you, it's the usual things. Hardships of life. You need things. You need jobs. Things like this. You walk away. When you receive them, you don't have them yet, but you have them. It's how you carry yourself when you have them, when you don't have them. You think He can't get anything to you through no matter what's going on? He can. And the most powerful trust that's ever been released in me is based on the love of God. And I'm sure not going to stop it. So you tell him what you're believing for. If He says anything to me, I'll stop and say that. But you tell Him, because that's what He's going to do. Say, well, how would you know? Because I know what anointings do. Jesus couldn't hardly tell 5,000 people. He multiplied some fish and fed them and stuff. But it took him a while to talk to each one of them to tell them what God's going to do. This is how this works. Whatever you came for, that's what he's going to do.